Pastor Stan as he speaks on the subject, the knowledge of the mystery. Pastor Stan.
Thank you, and we're happy, dear friends, to be on the air again with a wonderful gospel of the wonderful grace of God. As most of you know, I've been trying to give you the gist of some of our published writings, but we've come now to a book that has just too much in it to even give you the gist of it. It's entitled The Knowledge of the Mystery. Remember, to Paul was committed that great body of truth that had been kept secret since the world began and was only made known through him, the chief of sinners. And this book has to do with that. It's entitled The Knowledge of the Mystery, and some of the subheadings go this way. How it broadens our outlook. It gives us a sense of our place in history. It gives us a sense of our place in the world. It gives us a sense of our place in the church. It gives us a sense of our place in the will of God. And then how it affects our lives in the realm of the physical, in the realm of the material, in the realm of the spiritual. How it affects our study of the Bible. How it affects our prayer life, our conduct, our testimony, our fellowship, our suffering for Christ. Obviously, I'm not going to give you the gist of this book. It's impossible to do it. But I tell you what I will do. I'll go into the most important part of it. I think it'll prove a blessing to you, and then you can get the book free of charge if you want to write in for it. Now, while the knowledge of the mystery revealed through Paul has a profound effect upon our lives where physical and material matters are concerned, it has the greatest effect of all in the realm of the spiritual. How the knowledge of this mystery unravels the perplexing tangle which most theologians have left us with respect to God's message and program for today. How the teachings of Scripture regarding other dispensations fall into their proper places and assume their proper proportions when viewed in the light of this sacred secret. To how many problems it is the only solution. To how many doors the only key. Now, after our Lord's resurrection, he appeared to his apostles, and we read, he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. That is, the Old Testament Scriptures, which were all they had at that time. This statement from Luke 24:45 doesn't imply that the apostles now understood every detail and had no more to learn, for our Lord continued teaching them for 40 days more. It implies, rather, that they now understood the prophetic plan and had in their hands the key to the events which were about to transpire about them. So it is with the mystery revealed by the ascended Lord through Paul. An understanding of it doesn't imply a mastery of every detail of Scripture, or even of all those Scriptures relating to the present dispensation of grace, the age in which we now live. It implies, rather, an understanding of the long-hidden plan, which is the secret of God's dealings with men in every age, but especially with men in this present evil age. In the interpretation of the Scripture, there is really only one alternative to the understanding and acknowledgement of this great truth of the mystery, as Paul calls it. And that is the so-called spiritualization of the Old Testament promises and prophecies. The whole spiritualization theory came about by a failure to recognize the mystery proclaimed by Paul. Theologians saw that the prophecies about Christ and Israel in the Old Testament began to be fulfilled in the New. Exactly as predicted, our Lord was born of a virgin in the town of Bethlehem, was brought up in Nazareth, and later went about preaching the gospel and doing good. But in spite of this, and in spite of the fact that both physically and legally he was David's royal son, he was hated, plotted against, and delivered to death. He was crucified, buried, and raised again the third day, and ascended to heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit, all in literal fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. But at this point, the further literal fulfillment of prophecy seemed to cease. Thus it was that the theologians concluded that the Spirit could not have meant exactly what he said in this latter list of prophecies. They concluded that by the throne of David, he must have meant the throne he now occupies at the Father's right hand. And by Canaan, he must have meant heaven. And the church of today, well, that's spiritual Israel. And that the predictions of his exaltation as king of Israel, reigning in Canaan over the land, over the people of Israel in the land of Palestine, really referred to his present position as head over the church. Now, this is what we call the spiritualizing of the Old Testament scriptures. But such arbitrary altering of the plain word of God to make it fit a preconceived plan should never be called spiritualizing. There is nothing spiritual about failing to take God at his word. And surely it is not spiritual but carnal and presumptuous to change the written word to what God has not said. Actually, the so-called spiritualizing of the scriptures is the mother of heresies. That's what every cult and every false sect has come from. But why have sincere, godly theologians down through the centuries altered the plain word of God as to the reign of Christ? Was it their intention to pervert the scriptures? I do not believe so. Their course was the only alternative to a recognition of the mystery hid from ages and from generations and made known in the Pauline epistles. Had these men of God listened to the Spirit's word through Paul, they would not have found it necessary to alter the Old Testament prophecies to make them harmonize with the present dispensation. They would have learned that when prophetically all was ready for the outpouring of God's wrath and the return of Christ to break the nations and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, when prophetically all was ready for his return to judge and reign, God interrupted the prophetic program to do something he had never predicted. Saving Saul of Tarsus, the leader of the world's rebellion, he used him to usher in the dispensation of grace in which we now live. The dispensation of the grace of God, and with it, of course, what Paul calls the gospel, the good news of the grace of God, by which Jews and Gentiles are reconciled to God in one body by the cross, with Christ as their living head, and their position and prospect in the heavenlies at God's right hand. As the so-called spiritualization of the scriptures is the mother of heresies, so the mystery, the sacred secret revealed through Paul, is the answer to every heresy, the explanation of God's plans and purposes, which can make Bible study such a delight. Oh, the time is gone again. I've read to you a list of the many very interesting things about the mystery that this book discusses. The knowledge of the mystery. Here, the Word of God, especially Paul's epistles, really Paul's epistles particularly, have so much to say about this great mystery, and most Christian people don't even know what the mystery is.